Good morning. A lot of kids headed out today. There's been a question that I have been inviting you to not only think about, but to let shape your life. And I'm hoping that you know this question already, because I keep talking about it week after week after week. And here's the question. What does it look like to love this person well? It's the question that I've been asking the Holy Spirit to so settle in your mind, every one of your hearts and minds, that it just stays with you for the rest of your life. And so that no matter what kind of relationship you're in today, tomorrow, next year, in any time in your life, that you kind of have this default mode. What does it look like to love this person well? And not just your spouse, your children, or the people that are close to you, but that becomes like something that just shapes all that you are, everything that you do. You're asking God, Lord, as you bring this person into my life, as I cross paths with this person, as I get in conflict with this person, as I meet this person for the first time, as I work through things with this person, I'm always asking the question, what does it look like to love this person well? And today, I want to add to that question, a question that might seem strange to you. Here it is. What does it look like to judge well? Now, some of you instantly are thinking, wait a minute, why would you ask that question? Doesn't the Bible say, do not judge? Very good. You know that verse. You're right. There is a verse, actually, multiple times in the Bible, that verse shows up, do not judge. You're exactly right. But it might be the most misquoted or misunderstood verse in the whole Bible. People who don't even know the Bible will quote that verse, say that verse, and usually it means this. Don't tell me what's right and wrong. Don't judge me. I'm free to do whatever I want. Don't tell me whether it's right or wrong. Don't judge me. You know, and that's not what the Bible actually means by that verse. But you're right that it's there. And so I want to talk about if that verse is there, do not judge. What does it mean for me to preach a sermon that says how to judge well? If the Bible says, do not judge. So turn with me to Luke chapter 6, and I'll explain what this is all about. We've been working our way through Luke 6, the whole Gospel of Luke, and we're at verse 37 today, and that's because we stopped last week, at verse 36. And verse 37 is, I'm only going to read like half of the verse because I want to save the rest of it for next week. So I know this is just one verse, but would you stand up? You're going to stand up, sit down. That's what it's going to be. Like, it's okay. Stretch your legs. I know you just sat down, but it won't be long. Luke 6, 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. I know there's rest of the verse, but I'm not going to read it. So have a seat. Jesus is in the midst of making four commands. Do not judge, do not condemn. Next week, we'll look at the positive ones, forgive and give. So today, kind of a negative approach, do not. What does Jesus mean when he says, do not judge? And understand, this isn't the only place. Maybe the most famous place is Matthew 7:1, which is almost word for word, the same section. That's called the Sermon on the Mount. We're here in the middle of the Sermon of the Plain. But also in John chapter 7, Jesus says the same words. Now, if you've got the NIV, it actually will say, stop judging. But in the Greek, whether it's stop judging or do not judge, it's the same construction. So we could also translate stop judging here. It's okay, either one. Do not judge, stop judging. But I've got the NASB that I put up on the screen here, just so you can see how many times this exact phrase shows up. It's multiple times. Again, Luke, Matthew, John, another place in Luke. So here Jesus says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And so right in the middle of a verse that says, Do not judge. Almost hiding is a command. It's not as clear in the English as it is in the Greek, but this word here is that Jesus is commanding, judge. So in the same verse where he says, do not judge, he says, judge. And this is true for the whole Bible. The same Bible that says, do not judge, is the same Bible that tells us to judge. So if you're taking notes, write down, Jesus commands us to judge here in John 7:24. He says to judge correctly. And then, dot, 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 he says, do not judge. So here's the question, which one is it, Jesus? And for some people, this looks like a contradiction. Not just this verse, but this verse in contrast to another verse where he says, do not judge. What is it, Jesus? Because I've heard that there are, you know, contradictions in the Bible. Is this one of those? And let me help you see the way I look at the quote-unquote contradictions in the Bible. Every time I see what appears to be a contradiction in the Bible, I ask myself the question, okay, what am I missing? Because I've learned to, as a default mode, that there are no contradictions in the Bible. There are only what appear to be contradictions in the Bible, meaning there's something going on that I don't see, either in the text, there's something I don't understand, or something I don't see, or the context, the bigger picture, there's something that I don't know. So with my limited understanding, my limited perspective, what it looks to me like is a contradiction. But if I knew what was going on behind the scenes, if I knew more what was happening there, I would go, oh, I see what looks like a contradiction actually isn't. And this is one of the easiest ones to clarify because yes, Jesus says, do not judge. And yes, Jesus says to judge. So when we say the question, which one is it? It's really not a contrast between. It's recognizing what's the big picture that the Bible teaches. And if you've got your outline, what you'll see is that I'm going to, there are 6 points. I know we're going to be okay. There's three that will talk about do not judge. And there's three that will talk about judging, do judge. And then three that are about not judging. So number one, we should judge. I know the verse says do not judge, but we should judge because Jesus told us. He commanded us to judge. And here's one of the examples, John 7:24, where he uses the imperative. He commands us to judge. Secondly, I would say we should judge because God made us to judge. The very fact that Jesus commands us to judge implies very strongly that we would not be able to obey his command if he had not given us the ability to. So God never commands us to do something that we cannot do. Did you hear what I just said? Because sometimes we don't believe that. God never commands you to do something that you cannot do. It may be difficult in this situation or that situation, but he will not command you to do something that you cannot do. So when he commands us to do something, we can do it. But I would say to you, not only can you, you were made to judge. When God created a human being, the first one and the second one and the third one, and every human being since, he gave us the capacity, the ability to judge. It's part of what it means to be made in the image of God. I use that phrase a lot, the Imago Dei, the image of God. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? One of those things is that we have the ability, we're created with the ability to judge. And God set humans on the earth to judge. This is so surprising to some of you. I can see even the look on your faces. You're like, huh? Yeah. He set us on the earth to judge. But let's just stay with the words of Jesus for a couple minutes. Here's three verses, all from the Gospels. So Jesus, where Jesus, Luke 7:43, he says to a guy named Simon, you have judged correctly. There's no rebuke. There's no, hey, you shouldn't have done that. He's affirming, you've exercised the ability that I gave you to judge. You've done it correctly. Way to go. verse 57 of chapter 12, Jesus tells some people, you know, use the capacity that God gave you to judge. Judge for yourselves. And then the verse we've been looking at, John 7:24, where he commands them to judge correctly. What am I saying? What I'm saying is this, is that on face value, this idea of judging, even though most of us hear it as a negative thing, it doesn't have a positive or negative to it at its core. It's amoral. It's neither positive nor negative. Judging is simply the ability to assess information. It's the ability to form and express an opinion as you assess the information that you're looking at. You would not be able to function as a human being if God did not endow you with the ability to judge, and you would not be able to fulfill his call on your life as a human being or as a follower of Jesus if he had not given you the ability and called you to judge. You need to be able to judge to function. You do this 100 times a day. You're distinguishing between good and evil, right and wrong, good and better, better and best. You know, you're constantly distinguishing between choices as you live your day. It's how you function. This afternoon, I'm going to take my youngest daughter to dinner for her birthday dinner. And we're going to go to a restaurant, and I'm going to open up the menu, and then I'm going to judge, and I'm going to assess the descriptions of the entrees, and I'm going to form and express an opinion, and I'm going to express that opinion to the waiter or the waitress. This is what I've judged that I want to eat, and as I distinguish between those choices, I'm just exercising that ability that God's given me to, you know, to make decisions. Now, beyond that time thing that I do 100 times a day, then there's also times where I'm making judgment calls, where I'm exercising discernment, where I'm moving beyond just simple choices, and now I'm weighing, you know, multiple factors, and I'm like, okay, I've got to discern here. As I exercise my ability to judge, I've got to discern so that I can obey Jesus's command to judge correctly. So I'm taking the time to help us see that God's made us this way so that we won't get into this default mode that judging is all bad. Again, we'll talk about when judging is bad, but before we do, there's one more thing I want you to see, that not only are we to judge because Jesus commanded us to, told us to, and secondly, not only are we to judge because we've been made to do that, but we want, as followers of Jesus, to judge how. We should judge how Jesus judges and how he tells us to judge. And we've already seen a couple of verses about that. I haven't elaborated. So let's go back to John 7:24. Jesus says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So there's our first clue as to how we should judge, as we judge like Jesus, is we should judge with righteous judgment. Now, what does that mean? Well, God is the righteous one, so we want to judge with his character in mind. I'm gonna put three phrases up on the screen there's no space for them in your notes. Sorry. So if you're the kind of person that's like, I want to get everything down, you're going to have to just create some space there. And let's start with this first phrase. What do I mean by righteous judgment? I mean judge humbly out of reverence for God. That's what's righteous judgment. I want to judge like God does. I want to judge according to his holy character. So I am not going to judge flippantly. I'm not going to judge carelessly. Because as a follower of Jesus, I want to judge like Jesus. I want to judge in a way that reflects God's character, God's holiness, God's justice, God's righteousness, and out of reverence for that. You do understand, don't you, that how you treat people is a reflection about what you believe about God. as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, people are making judgments about God as they watch you. You're aware of this, right? This is why most people don't love the church or even interested in the church, because they've seen too many hypocritical Christians. And they're like, well, if that's what God wants us to be, is like that hypocrite, then I'm not interested. People are making decisions about God, the church, and the Bible as they watch our lives. I know, sometimes it's not fair. I get that. But just know that's happening. So with that in mind, you want to judge with righteous judgment in a way that reflects God's character, that honors his character, and that is out of reverence for who he is. Therefore, secondly, you want to judge prayerfully. God, guide me as I obey you and judge in this matter. I want to judge gently. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You can look it up later. Galatians chapter 6, 1. As you're correcting a brother, do it with gentleness. As you're correcting a sister, do it with gentleness. And then this word gracefully. We'll come back to this later. These are three beautiful words to guide you as you obey Jesus in judging in the certain circumstances that he places you. And guys, we're way beyond now judging menus and making judgments about, is that light red or green? We're way beyond the mundane judgments of the day. Now we're moving into the kind of judging that the Bible commands us to do that reflects his character, as we're judging like a teaching. Like right now, whether you are conscious about it or not, you're judging this teaching. You're asking yourself, is this relevant to me? You're asking yourself, do I agree with this? Is this consistent with the Bible? You're judging. Some of you are being very intentional about it, and you're leaning forward, and you're like, yeah, I want to learn about this. I want to be more like Jesus. And you're paying really close attention. You're judging me, and that's beautiful. You are supposed to judge when someone's teaching, preaching from the Word of God. You're not supposed to turn your brain off and go, well, whatever you say, just pour in. No, think. Discern, judge, weigh. That's part of your job. And it's what I've been doing as I've been reading this verse and seeking God all week, going, what do you want to say here? What does this mean? I've been judging the Word of God. I've been discerning. I've been assessing information. I've been forming opinions as I've been seeking, what does Jesus mean when he says these words? I've been judging biblically. I want to call you to the same thing. When you're in a position to say to someone, hey, can we talk about what you said last night? Or can we talk about what you're doing? We're brothers. I love you. Out of love, I want to talk to you about this. I want to do this biblically. And I use the phrase without proof texts, because this is how Luke 6:37 and Matthew 7:1 is used a billion times a day. When someone throws out the phrase, do not judge, don't judge me, they're proof texting. What I mean by that is that they're taking, yes, words from the Bible, they're taking a text from the Bible, but they're lifting it up out of the Bible, so now it no longer is in its context, and they're pulling it out and they're using it like a hammer or to bludgeon somebody. Who cares what it actually meant when it was said 2,000 years ago? I'm going to pull it out and use it for my purposes to hammer you, to say, don't you tell me what I can and cannot do. I'm misusing the Bible. I'm using, it's a text, but I'm proof texting. Does this make sense? And I'm not honoring the Word of God. I'm not being consistent with the Word of God. I'm not even really trying to understand the Word of God. I'm just looking for ammunition to get you back, or to somehow nail you against the wall. And I've already, you know, disobeyed God's word. I've already stopped rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm not seeking to understand, and I'm certainly not loving. So there's a way of quoting the Bible that is consistent with the Bible, and there's a way of quoting the Bible that's using it as a proof text. So we're back to the biblical interpretation. A verse can only be understood, a text can only be understood in its original context. And so I look at the verses around it, the words around it, the chapter around it, the scripture around it, and I'm seeking to understand that And then I want to quote it and apply it in a way that's consistent with the situation I'm in. We can all do this, but I'm just calling us, when we judge biblically, don't use the Bible as a proof text. This makes sense, right? You understand what I'm saying? So if these are some of the ways that we judge according to righteous judgment, then when we do that, Jesus will say something like, you have judged correctly. Way to go. You've done what I've called you to do. So you could actually write that down. You've judged correctly. The Greek word here is the word orthos, like orthodontics, to correct, to make right, orthopractics, you know. So it's the idea of doing something the right way, the correct way. Today, some of you will watch the Super Bowl. And not everybody, but some of you will, because it's just like the biggest entertainment thing in the nation. And you will see all kinds of judging going on, and you will see some judging that you think is correct and incorrect, depending upon whether you're a Chiefs fan or a 49ers fan. And I was just kind of looking at the names of the referees. Do you know there's a referee whose title is the line judge, side judge, back judge, down judge? I didn't know about the down judge. That's actually the title of their job. But I'm a line judge. I'm a back judge. So all this judging, this is their job, the striped shirt guys. This is their job, and they're supposed to judge correctly. They're being paid a lot of money on national television to judge correctly, and you know that's going to really make an impact on the game today. And if you don't like their judgments, you'll probably judge them and express that judgment. There'll be a lot of judging going on throughout the game and the commercials today. It reminds me of when I was a younger father. I had three girls that all played volleyball. And here at Open Door Christian School, great volleyball program. And the expectation was for parents to be involved somehow in the program. So one of the things you could do is to be a line judge. And I'm like, how hard can that be? I was about to find out. So, you know, I served my responsibility one day as a line judge. And I'm a basketball player. I'm not a volleyball player. And there is a massive difference between the two, especially in one very important area, and that's the line, the court line. So in basketball, if the ball hits the line, it's out of bounds. If it hits outside the line, it's out of bounds. You know, if it just grazes the line, it's out of bounds. Same way with football. If your foot hits the line, you're out of bounds. But in volleyball, it's not the way. If the ball hits the line, it's in. And so in the heat of the moment, the game's going on, and the ball hits the line, and I'm like, for a second, is it in or out? Since I'm not a volleyball player, I froze. That's the worst thing a line judge can do in the heat of a high school volleyball game. Everybody looks to you, and you're like, are we playing basketball or volleyball? I just forgot for a minute. Everybody's staring, and it feels like 25 minutes of them staring as I'm spending 25 minutes trying to remember, is this basketball or volleyball? Actually, just a millisecond has gone by, but they're all expecting, call it, dude, you know, and I'm like, Or the time, I think in the same game, that the first time I was a line judge, you're not supposed to get involved in the game, so you're watching the players. You're supposed to keep your eye on the net, on the lines, and things like that. So you're the line judge. So, you know, don't get caught up in that great player in the middle, my daughter. Don't get focused on her. Focus on the ball and on the line. And so I got caught up in my daughter playing, and the ball was hit, and it came, but I don't know whether it hit the line or near the line because I was engaged with the player. But now everyone's looking at me. Make the call. And I just sat there and went and stood there and then finally said, I didn't see it. And everyone's like, you have one job. Watch the ball. I mean, it's a line. Can you see the line? Make the call. And I'm I was watching my girl. And so it took a while before they asked me to be a line judge again. But, you know, it's a simple thing, and people expect you to correctly make the call. So judge correctly. I don't think Jesus was thinking about volleyball or football or basketball when he made his comment, but we understand in games, but this is true for life as well. there are some judgment calls that you make. It's just a game. It's not that big of a deal. It's just this. It's no big deal. But there are some judgments you can't afford to be wrong on. For instance, what do you think about Jesus Christ? If your judgment of him is he's a great teacher, period. Or he's a great teacher, comma, prophet, period. If your judgment of Jesus doesn't come to recognize correctly, this is the Savior of the world. This is God who has become man, who is fully God and fully man, and died on the cross for our sins. God taking upon himself the sin of the whole world. If you don't recognize that, you've judged incorrectly about the most important thing in life. You don't want to be wrong about that and merely judge Jesus to be a good teacher, a good moral person, a great leader, or a prophet. There are decisions that we make about teaching. There are decisions we make about people that are not just because you have a capital J judge, which you do for a living, but no, because judgments that you make about this person you're going to date, this person you're going to go out with, this where you're going to go. There's judgments we make about people. Sometimes those judgments change the course of our life, either because we made the wrong judgment or because we made the right judgment. See, judgments matter. Jesus calls us to judge correctly. And actually, this whole series that we've been in, that we're in right now, this whole idea of expanding your circle of love, I want you to see as you look at your text that this verse, verse 37, is in the broader context. If you closed your Bible, would you open it back up just for a second? Or actually just for another 40 minutes, or I guess I'm not going to preach another 40 minutes, but keep your Bible open. Verse 37, where we are today, it's in the bigger context of what starts off in, you could say, verse 27. And in my Bible, at Luke 6:27, it has a heading that says love for enemies. Maybe yours says, you know, enemy love or something like that. And it's this in the context of this idea of what it means to love someone and how to love them, Jesus talks about the idea of judging. See, keep looking at your Bible. Do you have a break at the beginning of verse 37? Do you have a new title? Like, for instance, mine says, Judging Others. You could get the impression that, okay, we're done talking about loving people, and now we're going to talk about judging. No, that's not what's happening. There were no titles when this was originally written. There wasn't even verses. It was just Jesus teaching and the gospel writers recording that. So this is what's being taught in verses 27 through 35, is Jesus is talking about different kinds of people we are to love. So obviously the enemies, loving those who love you, verse 33, loving those who are good to you, verse 29, loving someone. In all these cases, to love someone requires that you exercise judgment. You can't separate loving from judging. Hold on to that. So in all these different kinds of people that we are to love, verse 31, the others, and that's the catch-all, verse 35, those who are ungrateful and wicked, all these different kinds of people that we're to love, in the midst of that, Jesus calls us to judge correctly, or in the words of verse 37, to do not judge, which we're going to explain a little bit in more in a couple of seconds. But the things I want you to see right now is that this judging words of verse 37 are in the broader context of loving people. So judging should be driven by love. That's the kind of judging that Jesus is talking about, is love-driven judging. Judging, making decisions, evaluating, assessing, based upon fact that we've been called to love one another, to love those around us, to love our enemies, to love our neighbor, to be commanded to love. And with that in mind, maybe you've heard me say or one of the campus pastors say in this passage that in Luke chapter 6, Jesus is preaching a thing called the Sermon on the Plain, which is real similar to Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And in both sermons, there's a lot of similarities, sometimes exact same words. In both sermons, you have some similar language. And here's an example. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus says, do not judge. Exact same words of the first part of Luke 6:37. Then down in verse 15, and he's in a still larger context, he says, now watch out for false prophets. Well, you have to judge to be able to do this. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. How do I judge them, Jesus? By their fruit, you will, that's another judging word. You will recognize them. So what Jesus is saying, I know I said don't judge, and we're going to explain what he meant by that, but I do want you to judge the teaching you're hearing. Watch out for false prophets, and you'll know by the fruit. So you're evaluating the fruit. What do we mean by that? The results of their ministry, the results of their teaching. What's their character life like? What's their life like? What's the result of their teaching, of their leadership? You evaluate that as a part of watching out for false prophets. And this is one of the ways that you judge. As I said earlier in the sermon, you are to be judging me and watching out for false prophets. Now, hopefully there's no one here who's going, I think Jim's a false prophet. I'm waiting to catch him. I mean, I hope you're not, that's not your bag. But you're also not listening with, just like I said before, this empty slate, whatever you say must be true. You're watching, you're judging, you're listening, you're assessing, you're weighing, you're discerning. And one of the ways you can do that in my life, like any other teacher, is watch what's the fruit of the ministry here? What is it we're talking about when we're not talking about judging? What's the big picture? What are we all about here at Church Open Door? And what kind of people are we producing? What's the fruit of Open Door? Hopefully, it's people becoming more and more like Christ. And that's good fruit. So I feel real confident saying, I am not a false prophet. Of course, you can't believe every person who says they're not a false prophet. Nobody's going to say, I am a false prophet. Just want you to know. Try and stone me as I preach today. No. So you understand that no one's going to claim to be a false prophet, but they're out there. And today, there's more than there's ever been. And there is so much teaching that looks righteous, that looks biblical. But since, as I said in my sermon last week, so many of us don't know our Bible, therefore, we've lost our ability to discern some kinds of teaching, and it sure looks good. It sure sounds good. He's got pretty teeth. You know, there's a lot of people that are coming. It must be good. I don't think that was the good criteria for judging. So we want to judge with righteous judgment, correctly, driven by love, by evaluating fruit. And there's one more thing that Jesus touches on in his teaching about how we should judge. And he gets the most clear about this element the night before he dies. Night before he dies, it's recorded for us in John chapter 13 through 16. In chapter 16, Jesus says, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. And when he comes, by the way, just so we're clear, there's the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about. The coming of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. He will lead you into all truths. So this is the idea of being led by the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus died, was resurrected, and then ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples just before he ascended, wait for the Holy Spirit. I'm sending him. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. He's going to direct you. Pay attention to him, because you want to be led by him for lots of reasons, but also in this whole area of judging. Okay, so let's pause, about ready to wrap this up. In review, we've covered we should judge because Jesus told us to judge. We should judge because God made us to judge. We should judge how Jesus told us to judge. So you could summarize this by saying, judging is good. Judging is good and necessary when you're seeking to make a wise decision, when you're discerning and making a discerning decision. Now, let's talk about when judging is bad. Judging is bad when it becomes judgmentalism. I'm not playing with you here on semantics. There's a difference between judging and judgmentalism. What's judgmentalism? It's being excessively critical. It's nitpicking. It's focusing on finding the fault in a person or their teaching or their life. You know, if you focus long enough, you can find fault with anybody except for Jesus. And that focusing, that nitpicking, that just focusing on the faults, that's kind of this excessively critical, judgmental spirit. So point four, but the first point about not judging is we should not judge when we are being judgmental. So Jesus says in John 7:24 in the NIV, stop judging by mere appearances. I've skipped over this three times now, so let's address this now. By mere appearances. So when I judge by just what I can see with my eyes, mere appearances, I'm not judging correctly. I'm actually being judgmental because I'm closing myself off to all the other pieces of data, and I'm making a hasty judgment by just judging by mere appearances. Now, I'm not supposed to close my eyes. That's why the word mere is a good modifying word there. Yes, I want to judge by appearances because that's how I recognize the fruit, but not mere appearances. I'm trying to weigh everything here, and I don't want to judge hastily or even prematurely. So I exercise this in my own life. Since every time you meet someone, you're making judgments. Since every time you see something, you're judging about it, what you want to do is to hold your judgments loosely. You want to hold what your opinions are and what your judgments are to yourself and keep your options open. Keep listening. Keep gathering new data. Don't hear something and then shut someone off. And this happens in preaching all the time. Me or some other preacher will say something and it offends someone or they disagree with it and they get angry and they turn off and they don't hear the next sentence or the sentence after that or the sentence after that. They shut down and they kind of just, marinate in their judgment about that phrase you said. I want to invite you, I want to challenge you, I want to call you to judge openly, to keep your judgments open. Keep listening. You may learn something. You keep, especially if it's a sermon, if it's a speech, because a person was saying things. I'm preaching more than just 2 seconds here. I'm preaching more than 10 seconds, which is a disappointment for some of you. But I'm preaching over a period of time, and I'm going to say something and qualify and clarify. And as you listen, you get more and more understanding. See, you're seeking to understand, not seeking to undermine. Let me repeat that. You're seeking to understand, not seeking to undermine. Seeking to judge prematurely, to be judgmental, is that I'm just looking for something to nail their butt against the wall. I'm not really listening to hear what she has to say. Let's think about marriages between a husband and wife and how many of the conflicts happen because someone said something, the other person went, trigger! Shut down, stopped listening, and then just reacted out of defense or reacted out of anger and didn't listen to anything else. Most of the arguments that husbands and wives have, not all, but most of them, really, they're petty, and most of them happen because one person or the other did not listen well, shut down, made judgments, and then responded either emotionally or verbally and blew up the conversation. That happens over and it happens in my marriage. It happens in your marriage. It happens because we're sinners. So I'm just inviting us, when you hear something in a sermon, in a relationship, in a lecture, in a talk, read in a book, and you find yourself viscerally going, keep listening. So this is especially true for Jesus because he said things that sometimes were intentionally provocative that if you shut down listening, you would absolutely miss the point. He said it because he was a good communicator and he was trying to get you to think, but you shut down. You never heard a word he said. This happened with the Pharisees over and over and over again. So Jesus is giving this teaching about loving people, loving your enemies, loving the people in your relationship, loving others the way you want them to love you. All this to talk about love. Let's look at one more picture of context, and that's the immediate context. What I've done is I've given the big picture, Jesus talking about love, and now I want to get down to the immediate context right around verse 36 and verse 37. Notice, if you still have your Bibles open, that verse 36 has that break between it. In my Bible, it says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful, period, space, new paragraph, new heading, judging others, now new verse, and it's really easy to completely separate verse 36 from 37. But let me show you this verse in the Greek language. I'm not going to put Greek on the screen, but here's the verse. Verse 36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now watch up here. In the Greek, it has the word and. Now, that is a very significant word. It's three letters in the Greek too. Chi, kappa, alpha, iota. But it's a connecting word. In other words, verse 36, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And as an elaboration on that, do not judge. Or we've learned now, do not be judgmental. Don't slip into judgmentalism. So this idea of being merciful is clarified. It's given an example as a part of that being merciful. Stop the premature judging. Stop the judgmentalism, because that's not merciful. Now we're ready to go to point five. We should judge. We should not judge when we are being unmerciful. That's that critical spirit that I've talked about earlier. That's that listening selectively that I just talked about, where you listen, you're paying attention, and then they say something, and then you're like, you shut down. You're only listening to bits and pieces. You're not listening to understand. You're listening to undermine. You're practicing what the Bible calls hypocrisy, in that you're ignoring your own sins, your own faults, your own mistakes, your own lack of judgment, and you're just all hyper-focused on that person to somehow find fault. This is what Jesus means down in verse 41. Would you look at verse 41? He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I'll talk about this in a couple of weeks, but let me just point out this to say that, and ask yourself the question, how would someone be able to see a speck in someone else's eye? A speck. Only because they're looking for it. Only because I'm looking for that speck. It's not a plank, which is obvious. It's a speck. How can you say, verse 42, to your brother or your sister, hey, let me take that speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? And what does he call him? You, anybody got your Bible open? Hypocrite, first take out the plank out of your own eye and then you'll be able to see to remove the speck that's hardly noticeable. That the only way you can see it is if you're looking for it. Now you can, you know, because you've been willing to own your own faults, you can see. This is actually a little bit of humor on Jesus' part. We don't get it because we don't live in that time. But Jesus is just asking them to imagine, you know, a big plank sticking out of your eye. You turn left or right, and you bang into people, and you can hardly see what you're doing because you got this big plank in your eye. Oh, but you can find that speck, that tiny, insignificant thing in your brother or sister or wife or husband or kid's life. Let's not be speck searchers. I just made that up. Let's not be speck searchers, you know, right? Let's listen, let's love, let's be open and not trying to find every little fault we can find. In other words, what Jesus is saying is stop this judging that's judgmentalism. Are we ready to understand the verse now? It doesn't mean don't make discerning judgments. It doesn't mean exercise discernment. It means don't exercise this judgmentalism, because if you do, that will lead to, in fact, it's It's almost as if that is what it means to condemn. Look at this verse one last time. The first time I looked at this verse, I saw it as two commands, do not judge and do not condemn, as if it's two different points. And I was studying the Greek and studying the passage to go, okay, what's the difference between judging and condemning? And there is a difference. But it's not like Jesus, I've come to believe this about this passage. It's not that Jesus is making two big points. Do not judge, let's talk about what that is. And do not condemn, let's talk about what that is. It's more like, do not judge in a condemning way. You see that? Because we've already discovered that this does not mean do not exercise discernment. We already know this does not mean do not assess information. We know what he means is do not be judgmental. Don't be given to a judgmental spirit. That's condemning someone. So what Jesus is actually saying is don't judge in the kind of way that you are being condemning. I'm trying to make this as clear as I can. Yes, judge, but not in a judgmental, excessively critical kind of way. What Jesus is prohibiting in Luke 6:37 is judging that is judgmental, judging that is critical, judging that is condemning. That's the kind of judgment that will fall under his judgment. Now we're ready to finish this phrase that maybe some of you wondered about. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, do not judge in a condemning way and you will not be condemned. All Jesus is trying to do here is to repeat this famous, very biblical law called the law of the harvest, the law of sowing and reaping. I'll show you an example from Galatians chapter 6, where Paul says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. It's a law. It's like the law of gravity. You can disagree all day long with the law of gravity, but it's a law that's built into the universe. You can't sow corn and get beans. You can't sow rice and get chocolate. Would it be cool if you could? But no, there's a law of the harvest. And if you are sowing this judgmentalness, this critical spirit, that's gonna come back to you. Because that's what you're sowing, that's what you'll reap. So you could write this down. Sowing seeds of judgmentalism will reap a harvest of judgment in your life. So we're ready to wrap this off by saying this. We shouldn't be eager, to love to judge, but we should judge others with love. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we now know that we are to judge. God will call us to judge. And in your relationships, and listening to the teaching on the radio, reading a book, you're gonna have to exercise discernment and judgment. You might even have to say to a brother or a sister who's living in blatant sin, can I put my arm around you and just help you see what the Bible says? You say you wanna follow Jesus, but this is the way you're living your life. I want to prayerfully, gently, with righteous judgment, I want to love you as I make this judgment. And because I love you, I'm going to say this difficult thing to you. Because we can't love without judging. You can't live without judging. We want to judge with righteous judgment. We want to judge like Jesus. We want to love like Jesus. And this is where you say, amen. 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 Lord Jesus, help us in this. Help us. We want to be a church that loves well. And that means we need to be a church that judges well. So would you help us? And would you send us into a world, not to judge that world, but to love that world, not to be stand in judgment over the world as if we're somehow holier than thou, but instead would you call us to serve, to love, and to speak the truth in love? Would you call us to be a light in the darkness? Would you call us to love like Jesus? It's the prayer of our life. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' holy, loving, righteous name. Amen.